With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com.
Hi there, so Joshy here, doc_Joshy on Twitter. Thanks for having him on. You can find me on this podcast and other podcasts and YouTube channels as well.
Hi, Gitter Llewellyn, Swansea City fan and contributor to the Jackcast podcast. You can find the podcast at the Jackcast on Twitter, or you can find me at Gitter Llewellyn.
Hi, I'm Dan, Arsenal fan. You can get me on Twitter at @_jersey_fits.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. we're sorry that we missed the show at the weekend. I was abroad, and it was also Easter, so throwing things together at the last moment didn't come off. We have a perfectly good excuse to come talk to you about all things Premier League today because the PFA Team of the Year was announced today. From the back, it was David De Gea from Joshy's Manchester United, and then a whole bunch of Tottenham and Chelsea players. Kyle Walker, Gary Cahill, David Luiz, Danny Rose as the back line. Then Eden Hazard, Dele Alli, N'Golo Kante, and Sadio Mane in the midfield with Kane and Lukaku up top. So guys, I guess we'll just start with overall reactions to this team. Joshy, we could start with De Gea because I'm of all the Manchester United players, he's not seemed to have the best season, at least from an external perspective.
Yeah, no, and I think, well, I don't know. I think it's not a case of he's had a poor season. He's just not been at the standard that he set for himself. But I think that might be partly due to the fact that, you know, he's not had as much to do. You know, we've got a much more solid defense. I think in terms of goals let in per game, we're joint top across Europe across all competitions. Mm-hmm. So we've got a similar defensive record to the likes of like Bayern Munich. So it sort of tells you that we've actually been quite solid at the back. He's been more than solid. He's been excellent in a few games, but he has had a few slip ups. So yeah, seeing him in the team of the season. Makes you think that it's probably a bit more of a slightly to do with his reputation, but also I don't know that there has been a particular goalkeeper across the league who's really stood out, and players voting for this have just gone with who in my opinion is the best keeper in the league in general, but perhaps this season, you know, maybe he hasn't stood out as much in the United team. So yeah, that was from my perspective as a United fan, a slight surprise. But then at the same time, when you really think about it, there hasn't really been a single standout keeper. So you could argue for quite a few different players to be in there.
Yeah, anything else stick out to you in particular?
In terms of the team, I think largely it seems okay. I would say that I don't think Gary Cahill has been particularly outstanding this season. And actually, I think most Chelsea fans would tell you that Azpilicueta has been probably their best defender all year. But I think he suffers from the fact that whilst he's sort of known as a fullback, he's been playing in that sort of back three. So really like a third centre back. So people have gone plump for Luiz and Cahill because they're the centre backs. You sort of know them as centre-backs. So I think Azpilicueta is probably a bit unlucky to miss out, and Cahill's lucky to be in there. And as a United fan, I think Antonio Valencia has been the best right-back in the league. Kyle Walker's been outstanding, so again, you could argue that. Otherwise, I think it's probably about right. But I always like to look at the player of the season, the team of the season. So I would like to see a bit more of sort of recognition for players who are playing in sort of maybe slightly lower end of the table who have stood out. Maybe, I don't know, in goal, you could sort of look at Jordan Pickford at Sunderland. You know, he's been really, really, he's probably been their only highlight this season. So perhaps he should be in there because of the way he's played. And at that end of the table, he's had a much more of an outstanding season than De Gea has. You know, it's a team of the season. It's not necessarily, oh, he's the best player, because, you know, you could say, you know, Eden Hazard, he's been excellent, but it's not necessarily true that he's the best player in the league. But it's about sort of who's the standout player in the season. So, but I think generally speaking, the team, you can see why most of them are in there. But I think most of my queries would be around at the back and in net.
Yeah, Gitto, this seems perfectly segued by Joshy there saying, you know, smaller teams should probably be more represented in this. I'm assuming a certain Icelandic player may have missed out for you.
It sounds silly because we all remember that year that I think it was Scott Parker won the player of the season award. I can't remember which one it was, but you know, in a West Ham team which had gone down, and it was widely ridiculed. But you know, you wouldn't really expect it players playing down the bottom of the league to be in contention when you think of how many great players there are at the top. But I think if you were looking for certainly an outfield player anyway, down the bottom to be considered, it would probably be Gylfi Sigurdsson. I think he's been by far and away the best player in the relegation battle, even if he's playing for one of the worst teams. And while I'm not sure if he should be in the, you know, how seriously he should have been considered, you know, it's worth pointing out that in a terrible team, in a truly diabolical team, he has stood out. I think he's got the third highest amount of assists in the entire league. He's pitched in with goals as well, a very respectable goal tally for, you know, again, a midfielder playing down towards the bottom of the league, often played out of position. His general play has been sensational. And, you know, if it were, we've been saying it all season, if it wasn't for Gylfi Sigurdsson, then Swansea would be, you know, below Sunderland probably in the league. We'd be, you know, down in Aston Villa territory probably in terms of points total. He's been entirely integral to everything positive. And I admit there has been much positive activity at Swansea this season, but anything good has invariably been linked to Gylfi Sigurdsson. And I definitely think more than any other player, possibly more than any outfield player outside the top half, I think he deserves consideration for inclusion, definitely.
Yeah, it's where you get into an interesting conversation. We may talk about this on Sunday, but in these kinds of awards, is it supposed to be most valuable or best? Because we constantly have to have that debate here in the States when you have players that are super important to their team. Like, Gylfi Sigurdsson may be more important to Swansea's chances of staying up than any player at any other team has been. But then, would you include him in the 11 best players in the league? It's a very tough one. Dan, not to feel too left out on your side either, Alexis Sanchez misses out specifically, most likely, to Sadio Mane there. Can't imagine that's gone over too well with the Arsenal fan base.
At least those people I follow are just so kind of tuned out for, they don't really care about the player of the season at this point. I think Ozil missing out last year kind of was the final straw among many, many straws prior to that. But we'll get to whether I think he should have got in later. But I think it's mostly fine outside of Gary Cahill, because like Joshy said, he's literally not even the second best center back on his own team. That is a pretty glaring LOL. And I mean, if we're going, if positions mattered in Team of the Years, Dele Alli playing as a deep midfielder would be atrocious, but they don't, so I guess that's fine.
And Conte could cover him anyway.
But yeah, I think it's mostly fine. It's nothing, or outside of Cahill, there's nothing too egregious.
All right, well, now that we've all gone through that, I think we're going to touch on the player that was included in the Team of the Year that you think was the least deserving. Sounds like everyone's just going to say Gary Cahill. And then the player who was not included that you think most deserved to be on this list. We'll start again with you, Joshy.
Yeah, I think Gary Cahill is probably the least deserving. I mean, it's obviously an opinion thing, but
from he's literally not the second best center back on his own team.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's like, come on, guys.
But then I guess if you're going to say that, then someone's got to come in to replace him. And I mentioned Azpilicueta earlier, but I think he should be ahead of both of those guys, even though he's not actually a center back. That's the other problem, is four at the back hasn't necessarily been, you know, the position, the formation that everyone's played. But I thought Alderweireld at Spurs, he's been excellent all season in that center back position. We mentioned Alexis Sanchez, and actually thinking about it, I think, Arsenal haven't been great this season, but he has still produced the goods. And certainly in over Mane, and as a United fan, not having a Liverpool player in there would be quite nice. So that probably works out quite well. But then I really think Antonio Valencia has had a really great season. So I think if I'm going to cut the answer short, Alderweireld at centre back instead of Cahill, and Sanchez instead of Mane, probably.
That's going to turn around really nicely, because I'm going to talk about a Manchester United player that you haven't mentioned yet. Gitta, who do you got?
I think the obvious choice is the same for all of us. I think Gary Cahill is the obvious one that stands out there, and he's the only one in the entire team that I would say categorically, you say, no, he does not deserve to be there. I think you can make a reasonable argument for every other player that's been named, if I'm honest. But Cahill, like Joshy said, he's not, you know, Chelsea, ask any Chelsea fan, and they'll say he is the third best centre-back behind Azpilicueta.
and one of them isn't even a centre-back. Yeah.
And one of them. Centre-back, but he would still make that team ahead of Cahill for me. I think Azpilicueta I've always been a big fan of his. I never ever thought that he would be a centre-back. Obviously, he's playing as a three, so it's a little bit different, but I think he's been brilliant this season. One of the big reasons that defence tightened up after the first few weeks of the season is that three at the back came into play and everybody seemed to fit into place. I'd actually, my entire back four would be different to the team.
Oh, interesting. Who would you have had?
I would have had Valencia at right back, but it would have been a very tight one between him and Walker. But I would have then gone Azpilicueta and Alderweireld in the middle, and then Alonso at left back, which may be a controversial choice, but I think it may be just because I never ever thought Alonso would become even like a half decent Premier League player, let alone, you know, a really important player for not that I want to offend you, Kevin, but for the champions in waiting. I think he's had a brilliant season in attack. He's been superb. Hasn't had that much responsibility at left back, which is why I guess Danny Rose may be a little bit more deserving of a left back berth, but I have been just massively impressed with him again. It may be down to the fact that I'm so shocked that he's turned out. I have actually been very impressed by him, and I would again very narrowly give him the nod ahead of Danny Rose.
Interesting. And Dan?
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's going to say it, but Alexis said everyone's going to say Gary Cahill, obviously. Like, come on, guys. That's ridiculous. I could go for Azpilicueta, Alderweireld, Toby. Those would be two obvious ones to pick over Cahill, but like honestly, if you're just going to go center backs that have had a better season than Gary Cahill, there's a long list. It's a very strange pick to me. But I'm glad I'm not the only one who's going to say Alexis Sanchez, because I'm not surprised, and I'm not like, I don't care that much, but come on. Alexis Sanchez has, I think he's tied for it's either second or third most non-penalty goals. Tied for second most non-penalty goals in the league, with tied for the third most assists. I know we're crap. I know we're bad. I understand that, but that does not mean he is bad. He is very, very good and has been just ridiculous this season in every facet of the game. He should be in the team this season. I love Mane. Big, big fan of Mane. I think I've made that pretty clear over the season. But, like, come on. Alexis has been ridiculous.
Isn't Alexis up for Player of the Year?
Yes, he is. That was the other thing. If you're going to go...
that shortlist is smaller than 11
take
names.
And my bias out of it, like, come on, one's on the shortlist for Player of the Year and one's not. But one of the season games, it doesn't make sense.
Right, and there are 11 players on the Player of the Year shortlist. So,
yeah.
There you go. Joshy, I am absolutely stunned that at no point have you mentioned Ibrahimovic.
I'm going to explain this. Oh, right. No, I was going to explain that as well. I can explain that. I thought you were going to mention someone else.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I would not be upset with Ibrahimovic over Kane
me
if
either.
We're just throwing that out there.
Nor would I, and I'm me. But I'm intrigued about this mystery player there, Joshy.
No. I'll explain Ibrahimovic. The reason I didn't go for him is just because, well, maybe I'm a bit affected by the game tonight. We just played Anderlecht, and he has missed so many chances. And in games where he's not, I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but in games where he's not scoring, he doesn't really do anything else, and he's so frustrating. The caveat to that is obviously that he's 35, he's come into the league cold, as in, you know, first season, and he's banged in nearly 30 goals. So yeah, there's a reason he's nominated, but I can sort of defend that. I can see why he's not being put into the team, and certainly I'm not overly upset that he's not in it. And you know, Kane's had a great season again. Lukaku, I think, has been outstanding. So I can see why he's not in it. And you can't have, you know, there's no point shoehorning Ibrahimovic or into the side and Lukaku out wide or anything silly like that. And so you've got three players there, and I can see why Ibrahimovic has not been picked. And I think there have been games where he's missed some really crucial chances in matches which we've drawn. And, you know, that could have been the difference. And even today against Anderlecht, he missed, I think, three just not easy chances, but they're chances that you would expect him to at least hit the target. And and two of them went wide, and the other one was a little tame shot he put straight at the keeper. So he's had those games as well. So that's why I can see that's why he's not in the team. The other player I thought, who I actually think is United's, oh, we're going to do this later, but the other player was
Herrera.
Ander Herrera. Hey. Now, again, the reason I didn't mention him is because I can see why people have picked N'Golo Kanté. He's been outstanding for two seasons in a row, and he's probably going to win the league for the second season in a row with a different team. And he's been excellent for Chelsea, and he's been highlighted quite a lot in the press as well because of that move from Leicester. He's kind of an unknown before he was at Leicester, and sort of the media, like, you know, they sort of pick him out, and rightly so. He's been brilliant, and so I can see why he's been picked. And Dele Alli has been phenomenal, scoring goals, and he's so young. So again, I can see why he's been picked, even though he's kind of shoehorned to that central midfield area. But Ander Herrera, I could argue that he deserves to be in there, and I think he's been superb. So he was the other one that I was going to say. But, you know, it's just a case of, you know, you've got the formation, and like Gitto said, you can see the argument for why these players are in there.
Yeah, for me, I just realized we kind of diverted from myself to address the Ibrahimovic thing. I do agree that he's been lackluster at times when you've needed him, but I think Kane's injury and removal from some matches kind of disqualifies him to an extent. It's also why I didn't put Rose in my team of the year. I also put in Alonso, Gitto. But what I did do was include the other three people in Tottenham's backline with Walker, Toby, and Vertonghen. Because lost in Toby's greatness since he joined. Vertonghen was kind of shaky at times last year, and then he missed 2 months himself. But Jan Vertonghen has had his best season at Tottenham Hotspur this year. Not the year he was actually in the team of the year, which was his first year. And there tends to be a bias on first-year players that come in and adjust very quickly. And by that rule is also why I included Ibrahimovic. I think that tends to be the direction that it goes. I also had Sanchez in. And while I entirely understand the N'Golo Kanté thing, and I will leave him in kindly, I think Idrissa Gueye / Ghana, still don't know what name he's going by, has been amazing.
And hope for the best.
Yeah, he's just been incredible for Everton. I know that Koeman's gone in there and change their defensive system. They were doing three at the back for a while, but much like Tottenham, they have to revert back and forth depending on who's injured at the time, and right now it's everyone. But Ashley Williams being added to that Everton defense is not why it's gotten better. Joel Robles in goal is hilariously not why it's gotten better. It's the fact that they brought in one of the best defensive midfielders in England, if not Europe, in Idrissa Gana. And I do not know why he gets so little appreciation, but he shields that back line tirelessly. And if no other reason than it's just frustrating that he continues to not get any love, I did put him in mine. But N'Golo Kanté. Oh, by the way, if we'd done a show on Sunday, we were going to talk if the title chase was back on again, which would have just been frustrating for everyone anyway. And you've already gotten everybody's answer, because they've all on the sly said Chelsea's going to win. So
I think I'm the only one who hasn't, but I
it's
also
true.
Agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I said potentially.
You did. And Gitto said sorry, so I guess it's all fine. But the thing I want to talk at the back, if I was going to pick a player that deserved to be in, and all due respect to Joshy, I think there is a goalkeeper that stood out this year, and it's Tom Heaton at Burnley. He's first in saves by like 20 saves. He has Burnley's defense in the top six in the Premier League, and they do not have much cover. The system that Sean Dyche has set up is very good in that they're obviously going to shore up at the back before they do anything else. Their home defensive record is incredible, but he's still just getting loads of saves. He's kept them safe pretty much from day one. It never really felt like they were going down. Michael Keane is a very good center back, although some people that come on this show have been very vocal on Twitter about not really rating him that highly. That's fine. I think he's a fantastic player. But I think Tom Heaton solves two issues. One, the underrepresentation of smaller clubs, and two, has had, and I hate to be this American, but just statistically a much better season than De Gea. I do understand your point, Joshy, about Manchester United's success in Europe, but one of the reasons they're so high up is because it was against Europa League competition instead of Champions League. That's why a team like Tottenham, who do have a better defensive record in the Premier League, are not at the top of that statistic.
Yeah. No, I get that, but I think United have the second or third best defensive record in the league, and I get your point. The other thing is with Tom Heaton is he's going to have more saves in absolute numbers because Burnley are going to concede a lot more shots. I'm not saying he hasn't had a great season, but I wouldn't say he's been like head and shoulders. And I can completely see your argument, which is, and that's what I said earlier, you know, De Gea hasn't been head and shoulders over everyone else. So putting someone else in, if Tom Heaton had been picked in that side, I'd have been like, yeah, fair enough. Mm. He's had a top season.
Well, yeah, and also tying back into your point, you did say that nobody particularly stuck out. So if you had put Heaton in, it similarly for you would have been like, okay, there are also like six other guys, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have complained if Heaton would have been included, because it would have been just because there was no standout keeper at the top, so let's give it to one of the ones that bought them. I think there are
so
few
it would
keepers
have felt like charity for some reason.
Yeah, it would have. I mean, you could make the same kind of argument for Ben Foster at West Brom,
who has had a very good season.
Yeah, and he's conceded fewer goals than Heaton is. He's made very, very few mistakes. You can make a good argument for him also having a very good season, where he's just done the job. He's not been spectacular. He's been good without being great, and I think, really, if you compare with the keepers up the top end of the league, they've been better keepers than Heaton or Foster or any other ones outside the top six or seven. I think if you were actually comparing quality of performances and the quality of the goalkeeping, you probably say De Gea, Courtois, Lloris, these kind of players have had better seasons than the likes of Heaton or Foster.
Yeah, and I mean, then that's why I sort of bring up the point about who is standing out, because I think the team of the season is an opportunity to do that, not for charity, but to recognise that it's almost like most improved, or Jordan Pickford is like, it's like his breakthrough season. So it's an opportunity to recognise that. So De Gea is in there, and yes, he has been quality. His reading of crosses has got a lot better. He's a lot more solid in that area and more commanding of his penalty area. He has, but he's made a few more mistakes than he normally does. So that's why you sort of feel potentially, he's not the standout keeper of the season, but actually as Gittos just said, when you look at the whole season, he's been excellent for us. It's just that he's not been the standout because of the standards he's set for himself and the fact that United, we are a much more solid team.
So to get away from the, is this just kind of a kindness or like a token lower in the table player? If there was like a breakthrough 11 or something like that, I think something like that would be very interesting because you could put, you know, Dele Alli in there because he finally got that consistency. Mm. You could put Alonso in there without having to have any fear of backlash from Tottenham. Danny Rose has missed like 2.5-3 months of the season. And then you could like throw Heaton in there. You could throw in like Michael Keane from Burnley. Yeah. You could throw in Harry Maguire, who's had a great season at Hull. My thing with Idrissa Gana, I think that could solve a lot of these issues.
Yeah, I mean, that could be quite an interesting one to do.
That's another one you could throw in there. He's had a pretty underrated season, I think, compared to someone like Michael Keane. When you look at Middlesbrough's defense record, they've been fantastic, and he's been the defender there. I think I'll be amazed if he's playing championship football next season.
Yeah, I very much agree with you there. Before we get into our Player of the Year picks, which we'll do here in a second, there's one thing that I just wanted to get everybody's take on. Sergio Aguero, still yet to be in the Team of the Year ever in the Premier League. Is this just very much a Leonardo DiCaprio thing where you look back on it and say surely, but every year you kind of don't see it?
I'm not overly disappointed with him not making it this year, but then again, he is Sergio Aguero, and it is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, actually, over the years, it's almost as though it's kind of like he turns up, bangs in the goals, and kind of go, that's what he does, so let's pick someone else. It's kind of like the opposite of what's happened with De Gea.
Yeah, like his reputation's hurting him, where you're expecting it to be better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so, maybe, because it is strange to say, because he's been the best striker in the Premier League for the last, 5 years, I think. I mean, I don't know that anyone would argue differently. And he's a phenomenal player. Okay, he's had injury issues.
And this year he's had suspension issues.
Yeah, but he still bangs in goals, doesn't he? And I think maybe this year he suffered because of the explosive start that Gabriel Jesus made and sort of how City have stuttered generally, and he also had that period where he didn't really score any goals, but around that period he's banged in goals. I mean, I'd take him at United in a heartbeat if he was available and obviously fit, but yeah, no, it's a strange one. I can't really explain it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, sorry. I don't think he should have been included this year. I don't think he's had his best season by any stretch of the imagination this year, even though he has still been scoring at a very impressive rate. But it is absolutely incredible that probably one of the best strikers the Premier League has ever seen, if I'm honest, has never been included in this Team of the Year.
He's tied for third in goals this year, even with all those suspended games.
Yeah, it is crazy. But by his own standards, he's not had one of his best seasons. I guess that goes back to what we were saying earlier. I mean, because he has not been standing up, because he's not shown massive improvement compared to, you know, his regular form. I guess we don't notice him. We pay more attention to other players. But I still say this is probably his most frustrating season at Manchester City. You'd probably agree. As a, that obviously is worked against him. But it is going to be shocking if one day he leaves this league and he's never had the recognition of being in the team of the year. Because I think, I'll be honest, I think a fully fit Sergio Aguero would probably start for any club in the world apart from possibly Barcelona.
Yeah. Just because it's impossible to play a front four with Suarez, Neymar, Messi, and then also Aguero.
Yeah.
Play Messi at 10.
They could try.
Messi at 10, Suarez on the wing.
Oh, man, that's terrifying. And also, they would never defend anything.
Would they need to?
They would not. They'd win every match 7-6. A touchdown to 2 field goals. All right, now we are going to wrap up by each going through and telling everyone our team's Player of the Year as we head into the actual Player of the Year awards that we will see on Sunday. We'll lead in with you again, Joshy. It may be Herrera, who you just mentioned, but who was your Player of the Year for United?
Ooh, so it is a difficult one. I mean, last 3 seasons, it's kind of been it's De Gea, move on. It's quite nice that it's not that again. I think Antonio Valencia has had an outstanding season. Obviously, Ibrahimovic has scored a hatful of goals, but like I said earlier, he's missed quite a few chances. So for me, it's kind of a toss up between Valencia, just because he's just been a machine down that right hand side, and that goal that we scored against Middlesbrough, where he just chased down a lost cause, put Valdez under pressure, he slipped, and then he was there to tap it in. I mean, that's like that's the goal that sort of typifies his season. He's put people under pressure. He's been up and down that right hand side. But I think for me, Ander Herrera just edges it, just because he's just been excellent. He's tactically very good. He's changed his game up as well this season. He's more of a sort of terrier-like player, sort of harasses and pressurizes the opposition. But the thing about that is he also gets the rest of the team pushing up, rest of the team playing with a bit more energy. And he's pretty much all over the pitch. And we saw at the weekend the standout performance of the season from him, for me anyway, at United. He man-marked Eden Hazard, set up Rashford for the goal, and then scored one. Yes, it was deflected, but goal. But it just typified his season. He's been excellent all round. So if it was down to me, it would be Herrera. But like I say, you could argue Valencia, you could argue Ibrahimovic, but I think Herrera just edges it for me.
And Gitto?
Unsurprisingly, it's Gilfy Sigurdsson.
No way.
Shadow. this will amaze you. I think when the end of season awards come around, I think the people organising for the Swans are going to struggle to make up a shortlist. It's been that kind of season. It's been awful. I can count on one hand the number of Premier League quality players we've had this season on the pitch. It's been diabolical. But Gylfi Sigurdsson has been head and shoulders above everybody else. He's contributed goals. He's contributed basically all of our assists. And he's at times been the only one trying. He's been the ultimate professional. And without a doubt, he is the best player we've got. Without him, we'd already be mathematically relegated. But I would like to take this opportunity to get something off. Like, it's one of my gripes over recent weeks. Like, a few people have been having like little digs at Łukasz Fabiański, saying that he's not had a great season, etc. Łukasz Fabiański is probably the most underrated keeper in this league. I do not hesitate to say that. He is. I'm Dan, as an Arsenal fan, may like be shocked to hear that, maybe even disgusted.
He got much better when he wasn't playing or something seemed to go that way. Or maybe he's just tested less in the air. I don't know. But he's good. He just was really bad at the beginning of his Arsenal career.
You say, like, not testing the air. I don't know if he is up there among the very best.
But then he's got better at it, because he used to genuinely make a lot of mistakes in the air. But even, like, when he would play for us in the FA Cup the last 2 seasons, he was good. He was fine in the air. He just got better.
In terms of high claims this season in the Premier League, Łukasz Fabiański is, well, he's got 63, which is the best in the Premier League. The next best is Gomez at Watford with 47, which is a huge gap. And that just tells you how much he like commands his area. And the fact that we've conceded 60 goals is not in any way down to him. It is entirely down to our absolutely diabolical defence, which is among the worst I've ever seen in the Premier League. And all of them, apart from Alfie Mawson, should be cleared out in the summer. They are all a disgrace. Łukasz Fabianski has been let down massively, and he deserves a lot more credit than he gets. After Gylfi Sigurdsson, he has easily been our second best player, followed then by Llorente, followed then probably by Alfie Mawson or Martin Olsen. After that, they've all been crap. They have been a disgrace, and I cannot wait to get rid of most of them in the summer.
Regardless of how you stay up, feel. Which...
Regardless of which league we're in, they're a bunch of losers. They are mentally weak. And I cannot wait to see the back of the likes of Leroy Fair and Wayne Routledge and Nathan Dyer and Kyle Norton and Federico
Fernandez. That is Premier League winner, Nathan Dyer, to you.
Don't say that. It's just incredible. It's just stupid. It's just stupid.
Well, sorry about that. I just realized how obvious the segment is, because now we're going to go to Dan to talk about Alexis, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's Alexis. If anyone thinks otherwise, they are taking 420 way too seriously. Yeah, he's just, I mean, I already said it. He has the second most non-penalty goals in the league. He has tied for fourth most assists. He's been ridiculously good. The only reason he's not talked about more is because we have been crap. But he's been arguably the best player, been one of, if not the best players in the league this season. He's clearly the best player at Arsenal, considering everyone else has been, I mean, not everyone else has been crap, but, you know, as a whole, we have been crap, and Alexis has been very, very good.
Yeah, brief and to the point, and like the third time you had to talk about him, so I totally get it. Tottenham, I think it's a very tough one, because unlike the Tottenham teams of many years past, where you have two or three star flair players and then just kind of a whole bunch of well, you remember what Gitto said about the rest of Swansea's players, but this team is just so strong. And I think I would have said Kane if we had struggled during his absence the second time, because clearly we did the first time when we had all those draws that may prevent us from winning the title. But then we covered for him so well the second time, with Son really stepping up. Oh, if we'd done that breakthrough thing, yeah, Son definitely should have been in that, because he's had a terrific season. He now has more goals this season than he's had in any season previous, including what was supposed to be his breakout year at Leverkusen. But... the problem with this is it's so recency bias, just because I just finally got to see him play live at White Hart Lane. But maybe, yeah. Moussa Dembele, I have not looked this up statistically, but I feel like of all the players that have missed this year, which, by the way, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not going to use it as an excuse this year, but we did not have issues with injuries last season. We only missed Jan for 2 months, but everybody else was fit, which makes this year's title challenge, knock on all the wood, more impressive to me, is that we've had more significant injuries throughout the season than we did last year. And Chelsea have been more fit than they were last year. Not saying no other teams had injuries. Josh, I'm sure you've seen all the Manchester United fans that post the woodwork stats, but don't talk about it in context of the rest of the other teams. Like, oh, if Manchester United had scored on everyone that hit the post, they would have been like third. You're like, okay, well, what if every other team had only... Whatever. That's a separate issue for a separate time. But just seeing Moussa Dembele live was a entirely different experience. The way he just dominates matches in the midfield is crazy impressive. Eriksen has had a very good season in his own right, except he's first in shots, which I've seen some people mentioning is a good thing. But the problem with that is I think he's fourth in goals for us. Which means that they are not very accurate shots. Because it's Kane, Ali, and Son. Oh, fun fact, we now have three scorers with 10-plus goals in the Premier League, which is the first time we've done that since like 2 years ago when it was Kane Erickson.
I thought it was last year.
Yeah, no, I think it was 2 years ago. But yeah, it's incredible that we've continued to do this, and I think that really speaks to Pochettino's ethos at the club, that it's really about everyone. But I'd give it to Dembele, maybe kind of in the vein of the undervalued player, kind of like the Herrera thing at Manchester United, where you have all these stars, but it really doesn't work without Dembele. As Pochettino said once this season, there is no Tottenham Hotspur without Moussa Dembele, which is a very narrow time frame, but implying that Tottenham didn't exist before we got Moussa Dembele from Fulham in like 2013, I think it was.
Taking the Chelsea jokes to a whole new level.
Right? But anyway, I'm going to go with Moussa Dembele, but it's a very tough question. All right,
With Justin in defensive Christian Eriksen, he has doubled everyone else in chances created on your team except Eric Lamela, who is dead, so we're not counting him.
Yeah, it's true. Eriksen has had a very underrated season, but he's also been like really hit and miss. Kind of like Joshy was saying about Ibrahimovic. There are matches where Eriksen has just run the show, but there are also ones where he just should be doing more, including the match on Saturday, where you walk away from that match just stunned that he didn't score or get an assist, although I think they may have given him one late on that deflected off of somebody. All right, yeah, so for me, I think I would give it to Dembele, but again, very tough to call. Now, before we wrap, as I mentioned earlier, the PFA Awards are officially this weekend. So before we get there, last bets, who do you think is going to be the player of the year?
Oh, who do I think it's going to be? I think it's going to be N'Golo Kante.
Ooh, give us both, then, I guess.
Who would I vote for? I'd probably, from the nominations, I'd probably vote for Romelu Lukaku, just because of the fact that he's top scorer in a team that, I mean, I'm not saying they're rubbish, but when you look at Chelsea, they've got all these star players who can create a lot of goals, goal scoring positions. And similarly at Arsenal with Sanchez and, you know, United with Ibrahimovic, things like that. And Lukaku sort of, I think he's just been excellent throughout the season. He's also a young player and he's doing it consistently in a team that's sort of traditionally not really at the really top end of the table. So, and I like that about him. He's still got a long way to go to sort of prove that he is an elite level striker, because he's not played in the Champions League. Well, has he played the Champions League in the past? I don't think so.
Not unless you count like the final between the Europa League winner and the Champions League winner.
So I think I would probably vote for him because he's been consistently excellent throughout the season in a team that isn't necessarily considered sort of that top level, top tier side.
Interesting. So he raised a very good point there, Gitto. So hit us with who you think it will be and who you think it should be.
I think it will be N'Golo Kante too. And if I'm honest, I'd probably give it to him too. I've got a bit of sympathy for players who sort of don't score the goals, don't get all the assists, you know, that kind of do the unseen work. And I think in a season where there hasn't been like a standout, exceptional player who's head and shoulders above everybody else, like you had when Suarez was in the Premier League or when Van Persie was banging in 30 goals, or, you know, in previous seasons, you had that obvious player who is just undoubtedly the best in the league. I think in that kind of season, then you can give it to somebody like Conte. There is an argument that he probably should have had it last year, actually, because he was much more consistent than Mahrez, who actually
won
it.
Which we've seen this year, funnily enough.
I totally disagreed with Mahrez getting it last year. I thought there were quite a few players who should have got ahead of him, but I'd probably give it to Conte this season. I'm against Hazard having it, who seems to be kind of like the second favourite. I think he's been brilliant. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. But I think, I don't know, I think he has the capacity to be even better, which kind of works against him in my eyes. I think he could contribute more goals than he has and more assists than he has. I think there's just that little bit more that he can contribute, even though he has been amazing to watch all season and he has been, he's been fantastic to watch, in fact. But I would just about give it to Conte.
I also think Conte will win it, and I will be very snarky and annoyed about it. I would have been good with Lukaku, but Joshy kind of stole my thunder in that. Yeah, I was not expecting anyone else to say it, but yeah, he's been really good. I'd love to.
You didn't expect anybody to mention the league's top scorer.
No, because he plays for Everton, and no one of the people I've seen talk about player of the season. Everyone's like, nah, Lukaku. Well, I mean, there's the whole Lukaku is a fraud who only scores against bad teams, which is a whole another argument that I disagree with.
But here's the thing: has that ever been true? I've heard that narrative against so many players.
I'll link it to you guys if you want after the show. True. But there's a whole article wrote about it. He has like roughly the same scoring record against the top six as Luis Suarez and every other good striker has against their league's top six. It's stupid and it's bad and it's wrong. And I don't like people like that.
Tell us how you really feel.
Daniel's story.
Yeah. It's a brilliant article. It really is, because it is stupid. Oh my gosh, this guy scores more against shit teams than he does against amazing ones.
He's really
a terrible player that's just riding on the back of somebody else's success. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It happens in every single sport, pretty much.
People who use the term stat padding seriously should get small jolts of electricity every time they say it. That is my opinion. I mean,
there was a time when Aguero was labeled with that, and then Cristiano Ronaldo has
Kane
been labeled
was linked
with that
for his first year and a half.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, it makes sense that you're not going to score as many goals against the better teams because they have better players and better managers. Mm. It's not, yeah, and I think when you look at the stats and drill down into them, that Daniel Story article just pretty much blows it all out of the water and just says, just appreciate that Lukaku is a Premier League top scorer. It's nothing to be sniffed at. And he's been doing it consistently for the last 3-4 years and prior to that in Belgium. And he made his debut for Belgium at the age of 16. You know, this guy is doing really well and he's doing it for Everton.
Yeah, and he did finally put like all the pieces together this year, consistency-wise. and so, yeah, it's been incredible.
League top scorer with no penalties.
Yep.
Ah, yeah.
Wow. Like, if you're doing non-penalty goals, I think he has 5 more goals than anyone else.
I think Kane would drop
a lot. If Kane would drop to, he has 16 non-penalty. He's obviously was hurt for a lot of seasons, so there's kind of a caveat there if you're gonna get really into it, he's played way
few minutes. Him and Aguero are both on like 2,000. Everybody else is 2,400 plus.
Kane's on 1995, Aguero's on 2056, Lukaku's at 2816, Alexis 2624, Costa 2662, I think Ibra's around 2500. So yeah, if you're doing it per 90 stuff, then Kane gets boosted up a bit, but Lukaku's still far and away the top. So yeah.
Sorry, just to put in my own 2 cents. I think if Kane hadn't been hurt and was on track to be the Golden Boot winner, this would have been the year for him to win Player of the Year, especially because this is happening before the title race is over. But obviously, I don't think it'll be him this year. I'm honestly surprised that all you guys think it's going to lean N'Golo Kanté, just because the media... Actually, to kind of tie this into kind of an offhanded comment you made earlier, Joshy, about this being the formation that was chosen, it's because it can include more attacking players. People didn't want to see another center back and then 2 wing backs instead of 2 wingers. And I think that's a larger issue within the community of recognizing flair players and attacking players more than defensive ones. So I love that we're all saying N'Golo Kanté, but it's entirely possible that we're in this kind of sports media, dare I say, expert circle, where we're talking about Kanté is kind of this obvious pick because of the fact that he was the best player on 2 consecutive teams, and those 2 teams are most likely going to win the title. but I could easily see, you know, people just looking at Hazard, you know, and saying what he's done. If you're going with the MVP route that I mentioned earlier, then Zlatan and Alexis get thrown right back in there as well.
This is voted for
by the players,
right?
Correct, yeah.
So players are a little bit thick, and they'll read stuff, and they'll be influenced by it. I just think that...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like,
they're going to like search best player.
Kante's got 18 months of nonstop exposure from journalists and stuff saying how underrated and underappreciated he is. And then people think they're clever, not thinking attacking player. And yeah,
are you implying that all Premier League players are pulling a double bluff?
I don't think
nobody's going to pick Conte, so then they all pick Conte.
Also, I'm putting expert on my resume, and you're not stopping me.
Okay, fair enough. You can add that to the other quote of
my Yeah, being a good human being.
Yeah.
The other thing about the formations is I don't think that there aren't that many teams that play with two strikers.
True. And Burnley did for a while.
You could argue
but...
that 4-2-3-1 is a more, or 4-3-3 is a more appropriate formation.
Oh, so you weren't just saying it should be the 3-4-3 since that's like the flavor of the month, but it could have been anything
that was
else.
Just, yeah, exactly. It could have been that. And I mean, then you could argue, yeah, I would stick in Ander Herrera into there, and then I'd fight anyone who says otherwise.
He'd be willing to fight anyone that said otherwise also, because the other thing that we've realized this year is that he's kind of a prick. But that's fine. Listen, I can't judge. We have Dele Alli, and man, he just needs to not. But we'll leave that there. I guess we should also do this. I think Alli wins Young Player, and it's not even close.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The one caveat, and I don't think Lukaku would get it, because I think the reason it's clearly Alli is it's spirit of the rule. But if Lukaku wasn't given Player of the Year, I would not mind him getting Young Player. I just don't think he will.
Yeah, because... He's older.
And they really need to have some kind of specific rule.
Well, Josh, you saying because he's older is interesting, because one of my favorite dumb ceremonial moments in sports was when Gareth Bale was the Player of the Year, Eden Hazard was the Young Player of the Year, and Bale was younger.
Yeah, no, fully aware of that.
Yeah, good times. Way to work that out. And it was because of his three goals against Inter Milan that weren't even in the Premier League. That was a whole mess of a year. Thanks so much, everybody.
Don't talk to me about a mess of a year, because when we won the treble, David Ginola won Player of the Year. I mean, how does that work out? Let's not get into that.
We'll have a whole mess of the year ad hoc show later on this season. Very good point. But with that, we are done today. We hope you guys liked that we just had one topic show today. Let us know if you like that format. We may do specific things like this, maybe middle of the week, more frequently. Also, guys that have been on, let me know after we stop recording if you hated recording in the middle of the week. But in the interim, why don't you tell folks where they can find you?
Yep, cheers. Thanks a lot for having me on. Enjoyed that. My name's Joshy, a Manchester United fan. You can find me on Twitter @doc_Joshy. I appear on podcasts and various YouTube channels, and every now and then I do a bit of writing.
Yeah, if you feel your life is just too cheerful and you want a lovely injection of misery, the Jackcast podcast is up, and you can find it on Twitter @TheJackcast.
And then after you listen to his podcast, you can come over to my account, where every time Arsenal concede, which happens a lot, I tweet pictures of dogs. So follow @_jersey_fits for that.
They're cute dogs. Also, fun fact, Arsenal have a bottom five defense over the last 5 weeks. I'm Kevin DeVries, at Kevrop, clearly a Tottenham fan because of that comment right there. I think we're going to try to get out a show soon, recapping the trip in England that was. We got to meet a whole lot of contributors to this show. Unfortunately, none of the ones that were specifically on this episode, but keep an eye out for that. I'm also the lead fantasy writer over at goal.com now. I think I'm doing two articles tonight, so that'll be fun. But be sure to go there. It's under the gaming tab now. Nope, didn't do fantasy shows this week because I was doing 22-hour travel day, which is, as we all know, the most fun. But sorry again for no show at the weekend. We will be back on schedule through the end of the year and may try to do something midweek next week, although it's kind of a mess because of that United City game is on a Thursday. So we'll see how to do that best. But check out our Twitter @EPLRoundtable. If you have any questions, as always, feel free to ask us @EPLRoundtable@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to get back to you. But thanks so much to these guys for coming on. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. It's been a pleasure as always, and we hope you keep listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.